Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, 17 till the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Little Jimmy bringing us back there. 17 till. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. The one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Steve Case is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, legendary internet pioneer and entrepreneur extraordinaire. The author of the new book, his first book, The Third Wave, An Entrepreneur Vision of the Future. Steve Case, thanks again for being here. Congratulations on the book. I know how hard it is to get one of these out, and so I'm looking forward to it. I've already spent a lot of time in it, looking forward to finishing it. One of the things that you're doing these days in your way of giving back is you're talking a lot about startups, how to help people to foster startups, and how to promote entrepreneurship. As we left our last segment, you brought up the concept of partnerships and that your partnerships were essential to your success. Blend all that together: startups, entrepreneurship, partnership. Talk to my folks out there right now. Your folks who are listening to you right now, help us with this.
Well, I think the data is pretty compelling that the startups, the entrepreneurs, really are the big job creators. They're the innovators that are creating the different products, services, different businesses that really are kind of powering the economy. And so you got to continue to focus on how do you make it as easy as possible for people to start and scale their businesses. And I remind people, particularly in Washington, D.C., that America itself is a startup. You know, 250 years ago, it was just like an idea. And then now we're the leader of the free world because we have the economy, largest economy. But that wasn't an accident. That was the work of entrepreneurs, kind of first in the agricultural revolution, then the industrial revolution, more recently the technology revolution. So if we're going to continue to be the leader of the pack, we have to continue to invest in and support our entrepreneurs. There are a lot of things that need to happen to do that.
And what are some examples of what needs to happen?
Well, one is figuring out ways to make it easier if you do have an idea to raise initial capital to get started. It's a bit harder now to borrow money from a bank, and a lot of people don't have money or don't have friends who have money, so they don't have the same opportunity. And one of the things that had some role in was the legislation that passed Congress a few years ago called the Jumpstarting Our Business Startups Act, Jobs Act, that legalized the idea of using crowdfunding to raise money. So you use the internet to raise money if you have an idea, whether it's an idea for a restaurant or an idea for a software business or what have you. And I think that gives more people with ideas more of an opportunity. So making sure that works, I think, is important. Making sure the regulations are appropriate, not too onerous.
Do you think that startups need to have? I'm inclined to feel that a startup needs to spend a little more time developing their idea and finding customers who will eat their dog food, rather than thinking day one, where do I get funding? When I meet a lot of startups, they got an idea and I say, what's your next step? And I'm hoping they'll say, well, I'm going to make this dog food and see if the dogs will eat it, right? But instead, they're saying, I'm working on my first round of funding. What do you think? Where are you on that timeline?
Well, it really depends on what the business is and what's required to essentially create something that you can test in the market. I do think the whole idea of trying to get actual customers and actual market feedback sooner than later is important, and doing that as quickly as possible with as little investment as possible makes sense, because maybe your idea will work, maybe it won't work. But there are obviously some businesses where you do need to raise the money just to be able to build the product or the service or something like that. So it kind of depends on what you're trying to accomplish, but getting actual feedback from real life customers is important. I also talk about in the third wave in the book that this partnership aspect is going to become more important. Some of the sectors that are really ripe for change, ripe for innovation, ripe for disruption. It's not just about what the entrepreneur does, but how they work with other forces. How if they, for example, want to do something related to improving classroom learning, how do they actually get teachers to use it? How do they get schools to adopt it? It's not just about what they want to do. It's about how they connect that to other people, and that's true in certainly the technology world, but it's also true in many other sectors as well. So the skill of partnerships is going to become more important. That's actually why after 57 years, I finally decided to write a book. You've written a bunch of books. I've never written a book before because I think some of the third wave is going to be different in terms of the kind of mindset that entrepreneurs are going to have, but it's also going to learn from some of the lessons in the first wave, those early days of that we experienced at AOL, and telling some of those stories about, you know, some of the challenges we had and how we dealt with them, I think will hopefully be helpful to the next generation of entrepreneurs taking on some of these, you know, third wave business opportunities.
No question about that. Speaking of which, what was, when you look back on your career, what was the biggest mistake you made? What did you learn the most from?
I'd say the biggest mistake was probably two big mistakes. One was a timing issue. I really did think the idea of AOL, the idea of the internet, was obvious, and it would happen quickly. And it happened very slowly. It took more than a decade before we got, you know, traction. So I was surprised by that. Some of that was just, I was young. I was in my mid 20s, and just seemed like it was going to happen faster. So that's where I really learned the lesson of patience and perseverance. There are other people who had similar interests, but just kind of gave up too early. It just wasn't working, and they kind of, you know, gave up. So that was one. And the second was related to, you know, people. Everybody talks about the importance of having the right people, having the right, you know, culture. But I learned firsthand it's really important, because as we grew from a few dozen people at AOL to a few hundred to a few thousand, and then, you know, to tens of thousands, it got really hard. And finding the right people and getting the right
was it more fun in the beginning? Was it more fun in the beginning than it was in the end?
The first decade was much harder, much more frustrating. Didn't always look like we'd even survive, let alone thrive.
Right.
And the second decade was really when we kind of, you know,
when was the most, like, when was the most quickly, when was the most fun, though? What years were the most fun?
I would say for the late 80s when it was just beyond this pure startup, but we still had challenges.
Right.
Still, you know,
but that was before the heyday. That was before the heyday. Right back.
It looked like the hay was going to have a heyday.
Right back with Steve Case. The book is called The Third Wave.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.